Welcome back, everybody, to the Axis of Easy podcast. This week, Ireland moves to expand digital surveillance powers. Senators reintroduce the COSMA legislation, which will raise age verification and privacy concerns. Linux malware coming for you, courtesy of AI. Google Gemini, another vulnerability, this time with calendar data. And of course, the laugh of the week, Tennessee hacker pleads guilty to breaching Supreme Court and AmeriCorps and VA systems. All that and more this week on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Len, it's good to see you, buddy. Welcome back to the show, everybody. You can hear that I'm playing through a cough. My daughter is in daycare now. She's been there for 2 weeks and the whole house is sick. Is this what I have to look forward to?
For the next little while, yeah. Until she builds that immunity. Until we all build the immunity. Stay safe, right?
Stay home, stay safe. If I never sign another email, stay safe. It'll be too soon. Let's hustle here. We'll go with last week's quote to start the show. As always, skillful pilots gain their reputation from storms and tempests. That was by Epictetus. I don't think it's actually Epictetus, but I'm going to say it Epictetus. And it might be a soft C, but anyway, nobody got it. So I'm in good company there. This week's quote, like liberty, gold never stays where it's undervalued. God, is that ever true these days? If you know the answer, put it in the comments. Don't forget, you can only look on your Costco receipt for when you go buy your gold ounce. No Googling, no searching, all that good stuff. You guys know the rules. Put it in the comments. Get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS, which is great. So we're going to start with Ireland. Digital surveillance, theme of the week, theme of the month, theme of the year. Where do you want to go with this one?
the Irish government, man, they're really trying to encourage people. Yeah, this is a couple of interesting bills. So one is, let's talk about this one, the communications one, the interception and lawful access bill. And this is supposed to modernize an old surveillance laws that the old law is from back in 1993, the Postal Packets and Telecommunications Messages Act. So that was some 33 years ago. And people are arguing that that act is obsolete given today's world. We have now cell phones, Wi-Fi, all that kind of stuff. So this new proposal, it's going to give the Irish police, I can't even pronounce the Irish police name, but it's going to give them the ability and the authority to intercept all forms of digital communication, including emails, the IoT device data, and the one that's very interesting, but not much information about it, the encrypted messaging platforms.
Yeah.
So it's going to give some legal framework, and they could use spyware and hacking techniques. They're going to get in touch with the NSO.
Get the boys from Israel on the line. Get them on the line.
The police are going to have access to those tools, and it's going to allow them to secretly access data on devices or networks and scan electronic equipment in specific locations for anyone that they had identified. People that are suspicious, that they deem to be suspicious, they're the ones that are going to be using this on. But what makes this really nutty, it doesn't explain how it is. There's no clear explanation how they're going to bypass the end-to-end encryption. So if you're using something like Signal, Key, stuff like that, I'm not sure how you're going to be able to get access to it without sacrificing the security for all the users. Somehow the phone itself, when it's sold to the individual, the end user, has to already have some software on it.
Yeah.
One way to get around this is make sure you don't buy a device that's native to Ireland. Just buy something more international. And if you go, not just this only act, we had another bill that not too long ago, Ireland approved the recording devices. This was an amended bill, and that allowed them to use biometric recognition technology. So between these two bills, this biometric one, it specifically allows them to do facial recognition for stuff like CCTV and other footage. With that, they're saying that they are using those tools, and it's giving them the ability to save thousands of hours of manual evidence review. Mm-hmm. And they're saying they're using this for child sexual abuse, human trafficking, missing persons and stuff like that. But all this boils down to, this is mass surveillance, right? If you want to go out now and have a public protest against the government between this manuals or this electronic biometric recognition technology and then this other act talking about getting all information from people's phones, there's no way that you could do stuff with safeguards and be thinking that, yeah, they're not going to come after me. You don't know what's going to happen. And then you're going to have to be careful what you're going to say, not just on your phone, but even in a public setting. Everything that you do and say could be used against you, even if you're doing nothing wrong, just because you're doing something that the government perceives to be wrong, even just a public protest. And there's lots of protests going on these days, right? And people are just pissed off about everything. And if you're the wrong side of the law, well, it's too bad, so sad for you.
That's a great summary. You actually took some of the things I was going to say there. And I think, we dance around this sometimes, but the reason that these attacks on privacy continue to rage everywhere in the modern world is because, yeah, people are, as you mentioned, pissed off about a lot of things. And most of the time, when you think about, democracies and democratic governments at their core, when you think about the genesis of democracies, it was the voice of the people that mattered. People were able to dictate policy and politician based on their wants and needs through voting and through influence and through debate especially. And now here we are, debate is being silenced through a number of different mechanisms. But the chilling effect here is a big one. As you mentioned, you're going to have people who have their phones spied on. They're going to be lacking encrypted communication. And as you also touched on, Len, the problem is that governments this is going to become a crime of convenience as far as governments are concerned. If you're really a problem for the regime, or you're impeding on certain narrative spread or certain narrative application or certain policy decisions, you will be targeted. There's no doubt about this. We just saw this in Australia. We've seen this all over the place. Canada is going to come up with something like this too. And actually, the Canada angle here is that Ireland is aligning with EU policy on this, and are trying to anyways. We talked about the EU trying to make decisions like this for a while here, especially with the encrypted messaging. And they're all part of Five Eyes with us. So the idea that we're not going to try this at some point is not true. And I think if you look at the Prime Minister's speech today, actually, this idea that we need national unity in times of difficulty or during challenging times, I mean, unity is another loaded word. And you're going to see more and more of these loaded words coming all over the place. Because at the end of the day, what has to happen is there has to be control over dissent. The policies from all these governments are going to become increasingly difficult to stomach. They're going to become increasingly unpalatable for most people. And people will revolt at some point. And when they do, it'll be illegal and they won't have anywhere to talk about it and plan and all these other things that, maybe inconvenient, maybe dangerous, may lead to bloodshed, but ultimately are part of democratic governance. This is the direction that was chosen for us by governments, not the other way around. I think it's important to remember that.
I love this bill name, Joey. The Kids Off Social Media Act. Love when they just do these and it's a feel-good story. And if you're just reading it, just not digging deep, let's go ahead with this. This is just, but the bill has been introduced by U.S. senators, and they have a goal there, and that is to provide restrictions for minors that are going to be using the internet. And they say that there could be a ban for children under the age of 13 from creating or maintaining social media accounts. And also, anybody that's between the ages of 13 and 17, the algorithmic recommendation systems are not going to be used the way they are right now for them. So they intend to do this as a way to just make it easier and better for kids that can use the internet. And for those that are under the age of 13, well, they'll be protected by the state as a result. Thank you very much. They also intend to block social media access on school-provided devices and networks. And the reason for this, because they want to limit distractions and mental health risks during the school day. Now, this is just, you're not going to the root of the problem. You're shot, you're hemorrhaging blood, mm-hmm. So you're going to put a Band-Aid on it. You're not going to get to the root of the problem. This is essentially what they are doing here. They are just not addressing any of the actual societal problems They're just trying to just put a Band-Aid on whatever issue there is right now. So the cost of all this is there's going to be digital ID.
Yeah. Right?
They have to get the information. The platforms now have to know the age of everybody out there. It's going to push for them to get the information. They got to do age verification, store this information. And let's be honest, companies out there, it creates now a new treasure trove for people to hack that information, because now they have all this biometric information, facial scans, government issued IDs and everything. Now it's vulnerable to a data breach. So now you're creating this new honeypot. And not only that, there could be potential misuse by governments and also surveillance.
Yeah.
This bill, from beginning to end, just from the title alone, you could tell this is just a load of crap.
We've talked about this like how many times, Len, over the last year? Social media and kids are a nice target. And man, you could not, there is no world, as my voice cracks again, pretty soon if my voice keeps cracking, my phone's going to think I'm under 17. If you tried to convince me that at least in part, the reason Elon Musk was being villainized all over the place is because people want to use him as part of this plan to keep kids off social media and roll out digital ID, I wouldn't believe it. And digital ID is a nightmare. The thing is, once you allow digital ID, there's no going back. Starmer seems to have been stymied to use a little alliteration there in the UK in his attempt to roll out digital ID. But this one in Texas, of all places, the home of freedom, the bastion of the American, the original founding principles of the American Republic, this is where they're going to do this. It's pretty interesting that these guys are viewed by, I think, the normie population as the place you can go shoot guns, live for cheap, you know, not get destroyed by taxes, et cetera, et cetera. But really here, this is a left-leaning policy position. You mentioned there that they're trying to solve a problem that doesn't necessarily exist in the way that they're describing. Social media is not the problem in schools. The problem is teachers and parents can't agree on what the measures taken by people in authority to keep kids off their phones should be. So they just allow everything and they let perfect be the enemy of good. This is not just happening when it comes to phone use in schools, but there's a good example of it here. The other thing that's a problem is that there's going to be age inferences made by whatever technology these guys use if they don't go digital ID, right? Taking pictures of kids' faces. And we would never allow this anywhere else. We don't allow this in online gaming. We don't allow this when teachers have Instagram accounts and want to talk about some of the things they're doing and share with other teachers. We don't allow this anywhere. Kids are not to be photographed basically under any circumstances, as is the correct stance. But now it's going to become the standard. And I'll give you a Canadian angle on this too. I think Quebec is looking at similar legislation. They've talked about it. Obviously, there's going to be more and more discussion about the harms of social media. And I'm by the way, like, not necessarily against that standpoint that social media is harmful to kids. I think it's harmful to everybody. Doom scrolling is going to be viewed like smoking in 15 years. But telling kids they have to submit to digital ID and also being able to say, well, you have to be able to prove that you're over 18 or over 17, so you need it too, is just, it's a bridge too far for thinking people. The problem is, Len, as we know, there's not too many thinking people left. And so passing something like this is not going to be that difficult, unfortunately.
You're familiar with Roblox?
Of course. Yeah. Home of the pedophile, right? Apparently.
So they require age verification now.
I'm not surprised by that. Roblox is nuts. I was actually at my buddy's place on the weekend. He's got a young son, probably 7 or 8. And we were kind of talking about the games he's playing. And he's playing Minecraft and Stardew Valley and all these other games. And I asked, you know, are you playing Roblox? And he goes, no. No, all my friends and all their parents say it's bad. I thought, wow, it's so bad that they're not even letting kids sign in, download it, own it, nothing. And Roblox is in a different boat entirely. But again, like, you're trying to solve a problem that's being framed, in my view, incorrectly. Like, the problem is not Roblox needs digital ID. The problem is that if you get caught doing something like trying to lure a kid online, you should be executed. Like, this is the obvious solution, right? And so until we make the punishment, until the punishment is fitting of the crime, we'll continue to have that problem. That's a different story entirely. But I appreciate that there are measures that can be taken before we go full digital ID. Again, why is it always that the answer is I have to give up my rights? This is the question that everyone should be asking over and over and over again. Why is the answer that I have to give up my rights?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Voidlink. We talked about this last week, and it's the Linux malware, and it was first documented not too long ago. And this is highly advanced malware, and it was apparently built by just a single individual, mostly by a single individual using artificial intelligence. And it's interesting because people were suspecting this was done by a well-funded team. A lot of people they thought was behind this because there was 88,000 lines of coding, and there was a framework professional structure that was included with based in the coding. And well, some clues were left behind by this guy to point out this was done by AI. And one was an exposed open directory. And there was other goodies that revealed that the project was done by Trey and its assistant, Trey Solo. So one guy, for the most part, did this by himself using AI in totality. This is interesting because the malware is pretty complex. It's created for long-term and stealthy operations, and it's going to access cloud and containerized environments. And as I mentioned last week, it was written in the Zig programming language. That's a modern alternative to C. And it features a modular cloud-first architecture. And Voidlink, made by one guy mostly, and on top of that by AI, it's kind of self-aware because it detects when it's running on AWS, cloud, Google Cloud, or others. And it also identifies when it's inside a Docker. And then it calculates the risk score based on detected security products. And it slows down, if it's indeed there's stuff out there that's scanning, it slows down its activity by using port scanning, and it tries to maintain a stealthy, low-profile setup. Still, as I mentioned last week, there's no real-world infections. Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean that's not going to happen. Furthermore, Chinese documentation has been observed here. So it looks like the Chinese were involved. And because there is,
Do you mean our closest strategic ally, the Chinese? Those ones?
Yeah, well, maybe they could share with us what they've learned from stealing information. You know, then we could learn a little bit more about ourselves. It's a win-win.
I do like, I like learning about myself in that way. You know what the interesting thing is here? That the I think previous AI malware that we've talked about has been like copies and, tracing jobs of other more popular malware programs, malware tactics, malware techniques, whatever. And this one is entirely built from scratch. So you have this AI that's, there's stories we've done about AI writing lines of code to mimic a malware that already exists. And this is one that was done from scratch, which makes some of the stuff you said there about this, self-awareness is a maybe the wrong term, but I think you're very close there. The thing knows where it is, what it's doing, and how to go about its business. And it's a bit of a chameleon in that respect. It can change its approach on a whim, done all by itself. I don't know what to make of this. This is in the same week or 2 week period, I guess, that we talked about Claude Cowork, which was drawn up by Claude AI. And, by the way, OpenAI now, some reports saying that they'll be claiming royalties from things that were invented inside its ecosystem. Does that include stuff that might operate on the fringes of legality or push laws or whatever, stuff like this, for example? I was talking to Mark about this at lunch on Monday, and we were saying a year ago or 2 years ago, I think I probably said on this show and certainly on our other show that AI was overblown, that the importance of AI was being stretched for the sake of the shares and the stakeholders and the stock market more broadly. And, it would take too much energy to produce pictures of Will Smith eating spaghetti or whatever that original, short video was. I have completely changed my tune on this. I think that this is going to be insane, inside of 12 months. Everyone is going to be just doing anything they want at all times. Execution's not going to be the bottleneck anymore. And we're going to see what kind of creativity people have, good and bad. Everything from, again, spaghetti eating videos of Will Smith to, you know, self-replicating, self-aware, built from scratch malware that goes from Windows to Mac to Linux, whatever. This is crazy. And I think it's getting crazier. You know what's interesting? I have a note here. Canadian government and some corporate infrastructure run on Linux. Did you know that?
A lot runs on, if you're running server software,
yeah,
there's a chance you're going to be running on Linux. So I could understand if governments are using it, why the heck not?
Interesting, right? Yeah. So you think you're exposed. You know, you may be correct.
Yeah.
Maybe correct.
Soon we'll be replaced with AI. You just see our images appear and the words just don't quite match.
What do you mean soon? What do you mean soon?
Yeah, maybe tomorrow or next week.
Or right now. I mean, I told you I was sick. How do you know it's really me? I could already be in bed half a gummy deep, you know, dozing off.
Let's talk about this Google AI, the Gemini thing. And there's a new vulnerability that's been discovered.
Shocker. Can we really say these are new if we're doing one every week? I mean, come on.
Well, it's been patched too, but I'll get to that. Okay. So this is all because of an indirect prompt injection, and that type of vulnerability existed in the Gemini platform, and it allowed for anybody out there to use standard Google Calendar invites to bypass security controls. And with that, they were able to steal users' private meeting data without their knowledge or direct interaction. And all this was done by embedding a quote-unquote dormant natural language payload within the description field of a calendar invite. And then Gemini is designed to be a proactive assistant. It's getting more and more, not sure if you've seen this, but if you have Gmail, it's now it's trying to get more involved in your Gmail right now. Yeah. Every product is now trying to use Gemini for whatever reason. And all this was doing, it was scanning a user schedule to, you know, if you do some routine questions like, what does my day look like? Boom, it could trigger this. And this could be done all automatically. They insert the malicious instructions when the user queries the AI. And then once it was triggered, hidden instructions then ask Gemini to summarize the user's private meeting, like the titles, the attendees, locations. They write a summary, and then the information gets sent back to the attacker. It's using language that is hard to tell the difference between legitimate users and user requests and something that may not be legitimate, something could be coming from an attacker or a hacker. And remember, like I was mentioning, these tools, these AI tools, they're now getting more integrated into everything, Gmail, Google Docs, the calendars, and these become now new attack surfaces. You're now exposing them, and think of all the information people have on their calendar. If they're using the calendar, that is their day-to-day life, who they were interacting with, the Gmail, communications to and from. All this information is just going to be readily available if these holes aren't plugged. In this case, Google has since patched the vulnerability. But how much longer before the void link comes out and finds a way to screw around with this? Because I'm pretty sure Google is using behind the scenes Linux. Right?
You think, yeah.
So maybe they're going to be primed for this. Like, this stuff all just comes in this full circle, and we just tie all these stories together. What a crazy story.
I don't have much to say on the technical side of this. You did a great job summing that up. I will just point out that I believe Apple reached an agreement with Google last week to have them lead their future on-device iPhone AI implementation. So Gemini will be running Siri starting with the next OS update in September, I think is the timeline. So I expect that what you will see is a lot of people focused on Gemini, because the indirect prompt injection attacks, where you're using like one service, calendar in this case, to compromise another, their reasoning of the AI bot, might give you a look at one of the most historically difficult to break devices in terms of privacy in the iPhone. And I think about this a lot, because Apple, one of the things that makes Apple so appealing is everything is in-house, from the silicon to the manufacturing. They have control of what you know, in markets you would call the smile curve, right? Everything from the screws that go into this thing to the brand all have value and all add value to the company, as opposed to, you know, losing money on manufacturing or shipping or whatever. These guys have it nailed down, but they haven't been able to master the AI thing, and that's what people want. So if you're going to do this on device with Gemini, then I think you're going to get a little bit of a honeypot here. People looking to break that bit of software, because it's a great way to try and get into, like I said, a device that was basically impenetrable till recently, till September. I don't know. We'll find out, but got to think about this a lot if you're an iPhone user. You should be thinking about it anyways, but if you're an iPhone user specifically, this is going to be something to keep an eye on.
I like this guy, Nicholas Moore.
Great story.
Pleaded guilty to federal charges because he hacked into the U.S. Supreme Court's electronic filing system, and he started posting information on Instagram of all places. And apparently he bypassed these security measures at least 25 times between August and October 2023. And he used it to get access to the court's filing system, and that contained non-public documentation and personal identification. And he admitted to compromising systems belonging to the Department of Veterans Affairs and AmeriCorps. So he wasn't just dealing strictly with the courts. He was going on and dealing with others. And he was specifically targeting a veteran's My Health Vet. And this account, and he did this to steal private health records. And he didn't do this with the intention of selling it on dark web. No, no, no. That would have been the more logical way of doing it. I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, he did this and he shared this information on Instagram under the handle. I love this handle.
Incredible.
I hack the government.
Can't make it up, buddy. Can't make it up.
These posts, they had public names. Public names were exposed, health details, sets of information, and he's pled guilty. The dude is going to be up for sentencing April 17th. He's probably going to get the maximum. He's going to be gone for many, many years, and he probably will never see the light of day again. What a funny story. And he's a young guy too, 24 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the, like, how many likes do you think he got on those posts?
The stupid thing is you can't monetize it.
I know. Right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of stupid things about it, but that's one of them for sure.
You're doing this for just clout. That's it.
It's not good. It's a very poor idea.
Hacked the government.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. The funniest thing about this, though, I mean, the handle is great, but the funniest thing is that there's some likelihood that the government would never have known if you didn't start posting to Instagram, right? Yeah, they got all your data, man. They got everything. Yeah.
If he just sold us in the dark web on a very private manner, and I'm not justifying doing this, but he probably would have made money or Bitcoin and would remain under the radar using Instagram, where presumably you probably used his email address, like his regular email address to sign up, or telephone number. So it would have been easy to track the guy. I was suspect he probably wasn't using VPN. I don't know. So, like, everything, he's using this very centralized service, and so they can easily target who he is, figure it out, and then send the authorities to nab him. Buddy, you did it all wrong. Right? Like, he could have made out like a bandit living on a small island, whatever.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with the next guy who does this. Don't post it to Instagram. Anyway, that's it for this week on Access of Easy. Don't forget, newsletter, accessofeasy.com. There's always more stories than we talk about. You can go to wherever you get your podcasts, sign up for the podcast if you're an audio guy. And if you're a video guy, the YouTube channel, call in your name, subscribe. We're trying to put out as much content as possible and pump up the subscriber and play numbers. So join us on that journey, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.